So I'm the associate pastor, I promise. So it is awesome, an awesome privilege to be able to bring God's word to you this morning, especially now that we're starting our new series, Unstoppable. You may have heard the word unstoppable quite a few times in the past few months up front at the pulpit, because that is part of our new mission statement, that we want to be an unstoppable force of God's hope, grace, and healing impacting the world for generations to come. And so what better way to understand how to be an unstoppable church than to look at an unstoppable church in the book of Acts? So for the next 4 weeks, we'll be speaking on that. And we also want to encourage you, Acts is 28 chapters long. So over 4 weeks, if you started reading just one chapter per day of Acts, starting with Acts chapter 1 today, you would be finishing up with our series as we go through it. And as you're doing that, we would encourage you to use soap. That is not an hygiene PSA, but it is a simple but effective way to read God's word. And SOAP is an acronym that stands for, first is scripture. So reading the scripture itself, engaging in it, studying God's word, reading that chapter. Then O stands for observation. So just finding something that stands out to you in that passage that you want to write down, something that just might apply to you personally, which moves on to application. So how can I take this word that I've read and how can I apply it to my life in a practical way? And then finally, prayer. You want to pray over this passage. Just ask God to write it on your heart that you would live it out throughout the rest of the week. And what's really cool about this is if you are part of a community group and you are going through the book of Acts together, then every member would have 7 observations and you can share one of those at your community group. So that's something we're encouraging. So as we look at this unstoppable church in Acts, kind of drawn to Acts 5, where the church leaders at that time, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, were persecuting the church. They were trying to find out ways to stop this church. And a man, one of the Pharisees by the name of Gamaliel, I had to practice that a lot because it's not Lord of the Rings, it sounds a little bit like it, but Gamaliel stands up and he says, hey, there are 2 other prophets that came through that said that they were the Messiah that was prophesied. They died and their followers just dispersed. And so if this is the same thing with Jesus, we don't have to worry about it. If it is of man, it will fall apart on its own. But if it's of God, fighting this movement would be like fighting God himself. And so we're looking at this unstoppable church today in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is really, in my opinion, it really just sets the tone for the rest of the book. Without Acts chapter 2, we don't have the rest of the book. It enables us and it equips the church in order to do what they were going to do and be unstoppable. It does so through 2 different ingredients brought by the Holy Spirit. We'll go over that, but essentially it's the Diet Coke and the Mentos. Once you mix those 2 simple ingredients together, you're not going to stop it. So this is on the day of Pentecost. This was an annual holiday. It celebrated both the first grain harvest of summer as well as the anniversary of the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai. And this was a pilgrimage holiday, which means Jews from all over, if you follow along with us through the Old Testament, we saw that they were scattered, they were exiled, they were dispersed all over. They would all make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, the holy city, where they would observe this festival of Pentecost. But this year, after Jesus' crucifixion, he had appeared to the disciples. After his resurrection, he had ascended to heaven, and he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to equip you. And this is what happened, starting in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. If we compare this to the arrival of Jesus, who was a vulnerable, humble baby born in a dirty manger, surrounded by animals, and then there's the Holy Spirit who arrives in a fire tornado. Subtle difference. It probably wasn't a tornado, but it's a much bigger entrance. That's this thing that draws people in, and we see that there is fire. And you might ask, why is there fire? But historically in Scripture, fire would represent divine presence. So we can see that with Moses and the burning bush, for example. Moses couldn't even approach the bush hardly because it was just the glory of God was so strong there. And here we see the flame of the Holy Spirit is actually splitting and going into the lives of each individual apostle. And not only does it arrive and equip them individually, we then see a community response for this as well, continuing in verse 5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. We read the story in Genesis of the Tower of Babel, where people were united together. They wanted to work and build this tower and essentially become gods themselves. They didn't think they needed God. They didn't want to rely on him. They wanted to rely on themselves and their own works. And so God looks at this and says, no, that's not happening. I'm going to confuse their tongues, as it says. Instead of speaking all in one language as creation had, he spreads them across the earth. And yet here we see essentially an undoing of sorts of that, where all of these Jews who had come, who had done this pilgrimage to the holy city from different nations, every nation under heaven, it says, they gather in Jerusalem and suddenly they're speaking as one. Because the first ingredient is that we are unified by the Holy Spirit. We are unified by the Holy Spirit. Now, there's some things that there's a popular post that I'll see on social media, and maybe you've shared this to some extent, and I'm not trying to disparage you if you've shared it, but there's this rhetoric that I see a lot of relationship over religion. And I get it. I understand where that comes from. Religion is broken a lot of times. We look at it and we're frustrated. Really, we can even look in the Bible. Even in the book of Acts itself, there is broken religion. But just because something is broken doesn't mean that we throw it away, that the original intended purpose of it is a good thing. So for example, just here at Watermark, we have 4 different campuses, and we have a different speaker each week at each campus. We preach from the same passage, we have the same main points, but if you were to go this week and watch the sermon online with Paul, you would see a very different sermon because his life experiences are different, the things that stand out to him are very different than what I've experienced and what my knowledge is. And we have that similar thing. When you are in community with others, when you do religion with each other, that guides our actions and our beliefs. I mentioned community groups. If you go to a community group with different observations from each one of you, you learn from God in ways that you just won't learn if you are on an island. If you are reading God's word by yourself, that's awesome. That is something that should be done. But if you don't do anything with that, if you're not engaging it with other people, you are missing out on something. We can see this plan from the beginning with Adam and with Eve. That's the other thing I would actually caution against is when we say relationship over religion, we're normally just talking about a relationship with God. And I know just, yes, it's good to have a relationship with God. But you look at Adam, and God is walking in the garden with Adam. His presence is there with him. And what does he say? It's not good for him to be alone. And so Eve is created. We are made for these relationships. And so I know that COVID has been really difficult, and out of necessity, a lot of times we did watch online. Hopefully you were still able to stay in contact with people and phone calls and video calls, everything like that. But I think we've all felt that too. That's why a lot of us are here this morning, is because community is important. And we see it here at Pentecost as well, because it wasn't just an individual experience with the Holy Spirit. When the apostles received the Holy Spirit, it led to community. The immediate response was community, because a relationship with God leads to a relationship with people. And so that's why it's such an important thing for us. Pastor Ken, our last staff meeting together, he really just emphasize this importance as his parting words to us as a staff at Watermark. He said, you know, people can watch any sermon they want to online. You could watch anyone from across the world. But what's really important is community. That is something that you can only get if you are engaged in a local church. So we are unified by the Spirit. The second component we can start to see hints of starting in verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Peter preached some dangerous stuff, especially considering where he was. Again, he was at the epicenter of the Jewish faith. He was in Jerusalem, a location where only 50 days prior, Jesus had been killed. In fact, it's a very high chance that people that were there listening to him about the gospel of Jesus, as he's even condemning people and saying, "You're the ones that sentenced him," were actually part of that crowd. They actually cheered for Barabbas and cheered, "Crucify him." The temple leaders were there, and he's preaching of how Jesus was God incarnate, fully man, fully God, sent to die for our sins, but yet on the third day resurrected and ascended to heaven. He says this in verse 38 and 39. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." That includes us. The gift of the Holy Spirit. If you are a believer of Christ, if you have accepted him into your heart, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Here at the foundation of the church, this truth is spoken and it's still applicable today. And we see the response from the crowd in verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000. But one thing that might stand out to you, it mentions some of the other apostles. In fact, in the end of chapter 1 before this, they had chosen Matthias to be the replacement for Judas. There are 11 other apostles. Why Peter? It's significant that he spoke. We know the names of all the apostles, but they're not always mentioned often throughout the Gospels. But Peter is mentioned 120 times by name, over 120 times by name. He was flawed, he was volatile, he was emotional. All four of the Gospel writers depict that. It's not a flattering picture of Peter. There are many times that we can read these stories and get frustrated with Peter, or maybe just relate to him, and maybe that's why we're frustrated with him. And yet, God did something with him. Even though Peter was so emotional, he was so scared that when his Savior and his best friend was being essentially tortured and tried for crimes he did not commit, and there are these smaller crowds that are asking, "Aren't you with him?" He's like, "No." Three times he denies Christ and says, "No, I'm not with him." And yet, when Jesus returns, he says, "You are the rock upon which I will build my church." That doesn't make sense. Why Peter? He's so unstable. He's so volatile. Why would you have such a shaky foundation? This is why. Acts chapter 2. He says this, that he receives the Spirit. In the first chapter of Acts, Jesus says, "I'm sending you the Spirit so that you can be empowered. Empowered to do my work and to reach all of the world." And that's the second ingredient for us, is we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. So now a man who is denying Christ in these smaller groups of people is standing in front of over 3,000 people and is boldly proclaiming the gospel, because the Holy Spirit is living in him and empowering him. And we still have that today. And I know we still have that today because I'm up here and because I am empowered by the Holy Spirit. Some of you may notice occasionally, I've been here for a few months now, before service when the countdown's happening. That may confuse some of you. Some of you are like, "Countdown? There's not a countdown when we get here." Sorry. But sometimes when the countdown is going, or even after service, you know, I have some people that I know and everything, but I am very much, even though I'm an introvert, I'm social, I'm okay in small groups, but There are times I'll be here on Sunday morning, and I'll just be like, yep, okay, who can I pastor over here? Okay, like, oh, I'll fix this chair. Oh, I'll go over here. Yeah, there's no emergencies. We're good. Okay. Just kind of awkward. I'm an awkward guy. But it's more than that. I also have severe anxiety. For over 5 years of my life, I was actually a recluse. Never left my house. Never. Was living with my parents in my mid-20s and just didn't do anything. And I remember struggling with God. And just here we can ask, why Peter? And then I was asking, why me? How me? I can't even function as a human being. And even just seconds before I come up here, that anxiety is boiling up. But as soon as I hit the stage, it's gone. And that is the Holy Spirit. And that is the same Holy Spirit who is living in you as well. You may not have the gift of preaching, but there are other gifts as well. You might be the person who can go up to strangers and be like, hi, nice to meet you. That's still terrifying to me. I try to do it. But we are all empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so when we mix those two things together, when we mix that empowerment and that unification, here's what happened in the case of the early church. At the end of Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, it might seem like a bit of an epilogue, but this is such an important part of this story. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. An unstoppable church. They started as a group of 3,000 in Jerusalem, and in the next 30 years, they would go across the entire span of the Roman Empire to the emperor himself. Why? In verse 44, it said, all the believers were together and had everything in common. That is written intentionally. We believe that Luke wrote the book of Acts, and he would be familiar with Greek philosophy, and Socrates wrote about friendship, and he had some good points as part of Greek philosophy. He's like, yes, you can have a benefit of friendship, of having relationships with each other. It can benefit you personally, but when you have friendship, it's for other people. You are putting other people's needs first. But where this fell short was there was this caveat of if you have everything in common. So it's not just like personal interests or hobbies or anything like that. It's talking about socioeconomic status. So if I was poor and you were rich, we could not be friends because there would always be this unequal balance. I would owe you something. If I was powerful and you were weak, we couldn't associate with each other. And yet, here we see people of all classes and genders and politics with everything in common. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. An unstoppable church. We'll be exploring some stories in the next coming weeks of what happened with a unified and empowered church. But just some examples. We have the numbers that are added daily. We have the Gentiles are welcomed into the church. It starts out as a sect of Judaism. But then Peter, because of a vision that a Roman centurion had, a member of the Roman Empire that was oppressing the Christians, has a vision, welcomes him into his home. And Peter says, no, the walls need to come down. Gentiles and Jews alike can worship together. We see a man who was oppressing the Christians, who oversaw the stoning of Stephen, who has an experience with Christ, and he becomes the greatest evangelist of all time. And no, I'm not talking about Billy Graham. We see women such as Priscilla or Lydia. Lydia was an incredible example. It's believed that she was the first European Christian. And she's witnessed to, and she brings her whole community to faith. Even though women were usually considered second-class citizens, They are equipped and empowered to be leaders of God's church. We see an Ethiopian eunuch who didn't fit traditional gender standards. And Philip is very specifically called by the Spirit to witness to him, to share the gospel of Christ with him. And the eunuch says and asks, "What is stopping me from being baptized today?" And Philip says, "Nothing." That is what an unstoppable church looks like. And so as much as we get frustrated with the church as a whole today, just imagine what we could do. Imagine what it would look like if instead of throwing stones at each other, we used the stones to build God's church. Imagine what it would look like if instead of pointing at people and saying, "You're broken, fix it," we said, "I'm broken too," and pointed to a Savior who fixes it. Imagine what can be accomplished. And we see that here in the book of Acts. And I am just so honored and privileged to also be able to see that in our church as well. I love being a part of Watermark and just and seeing what we do. We saw the video earlier from Poetis of one of our partner organizations that we've had for many years and just the amazing work they've done over there. And even our heart check during so much financial insecurity. We didn't know what was going to happen. People were losing jobs. We as a church didn't know how to budget necessarily. And you all had your issues too of, you know, am I still going to have my job? What's my income going to look like? And yet we as a church raised over $1 million to send to partner ministries like Poetis, like other partner ministries that are in the city. Because we are unified and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. So how can you be a part of this? Well, just being here on a Sunday is already an awesome first step. Most of you are here this morning. That's great. Thank you. I could also do stand-up if I need to. I can fall back on that. But that's a great thing. But even just building those relationships, reaching out to people, staying and talking a little bit, or having someone over for food, praying for someone. We want to be a church that prays. We have called to pray that we do each month where we want to be a praising church or a praying church. There are ways that you can serve through our partner ministries, like I said. There are ways that you can serve here with our children's ministry. And yes, I do hear them. It's like Pentecost in there. It's awesome. You can be a part of that as a greeter. There are so many opportunities as well. And of course, you can't talk about community without mentioning community groups. I personally love community groups. I love the way that I can read scripture, like I said, and go to a community group and just learn what that scripture looks like through other people's eyes. And not only that, do life together, experience life together, pray for each other, be a phone call away for someone if they're in trouble, if they're dealing with something. Be a part of this. Be a part of this unstoppable force is my encouragement. And by the way, if you're not a part of a community group, please speak to me or Trevor after service. We'd love to help you get connected with that, or you know, email, however you want to get in contact with us. But there are so many ways that you can engage in this church. I would really encourage you to do that. Now when we need it more than ever, to be a part of community, to be a part of something big, empowered and unified by Christ and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for that flame that, as those of us that are believers, that you've sent into us. The way that you have just started a relationship with us, and that relationship can flourish and can spread to others. God, as we look at our church, and we look at our mission moving forward with a new lead pastor, as things reopen, as we have the incredible breakthrough of a vaccine and things are starting to somewhat get back to normal, God, we just ask that you would be with us and keep us intentional about being in community with each other. That there would be phone calls to check in with people that we haven't talked to for a while. That person that sits here on a Sunday morning not speaking to anyone, that we would just be moved to reach out and introduce ourselves, as awkward as that might be. As we look at the incredible things that you do over in Zambia, let us not miss the mission field that is here, God. Unified and empowered by you, we want to be an unstoppable church, an unstoppable force that moves and brings your kingdom here. God, maybe it's the first time that someone is praying this. Maybe they don't yet have the Holy Spirit and they want that. God, just ask that you would be with them as they pray that prayer that I am a broken person. I need fixing. I believe Jesus did that for me. And for the rest of us, already believers, that you would just renew us, refresh us with your Spirit. That flame would burn fresh and new in this moment, throughout this week. We pray all these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ.